Acts chapter 18, let's start reading in verse number 6. Acts chapter 18, verse number 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook him his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own hands. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God and whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, sounds like Rice Krispies, right? The chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there, watch this, a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at a good bit of scripture tonight. But Paul leaves Athens in Acts chapter 17 and goes to a place called Corinth. Corinth would be a little island off of the southeast coast of Greece, part of Greece, but it's an island. It's about as far as from here to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's not a long journey. It was just kind of a hop across the water there, just a short ride. But here, we didn't read these verses earlier, but earlier in the chapter, you find out he meets up with a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. These are a couple from Italy. They were moved out of Italy to Greece because of Claudius. Claudius was the Roman emperor at the time, by the way. Claudius is the one who came in historically after crazy or lunatic leader called Caligula was there. Caligula named his horse a prince. The guy was, his elevator didn't go quite to the top. His cheese fell out of its sandwich. I mean, he just didn't have it all together. And he just wasn't, his French fries were going out of the Happy Meal or something, but he just wasn't all there. Well, Claudius kind of is cleaning up the kingdom after Caligula's stupidity. And he's forcing some Jews and things out of Italy and trying to clean things up. Aquila and Priscilla were part of that, and they moved from Italy to Greece to this area called Corinth. Now, Paul is so fed up with the Jews that he says he's done reaching them. Look at verse number 6. Let's look at real carefully here. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed. Now look at me. They couldn't even agree amongst themselves. And then they were committing blasphemy against the word of God. He shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. He said, I'm done. Now remember, Paul was part of the Sanhedrin. Paul was part of these religious Jews. Paul was part of this crowd, and he had been saved from what that was. And he said, y'all are so stupid, you don't even know what you're involved in. And you're fighting amongst yourself. He said, I'm sick and tired of your bickering and fussing with me. He said, your blood's upon your own heads. I told you the truth. Now I'm going to go preach to the Gentiles, and I'll give a flip about you. That's Bush's version, just so you know. But Paul starts seeing, by the way, he meets up with Aquila and Priscilla, and they decide to reach these Gentiles. Paul starts seeing a lot of people saved at Corinth. Look at verse number 8. And Crispus, chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. By the way, the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians were written to the churches here in this place called Corinth. Yes, go figure. God assures Paul, though, through a dream that not to fear being here at Corinth, not to worry about the Jews. He said, nobody's going to hurt you. You just do a great work amongst the Gentiles and see as many people saved. Get the churches as strong as you can. And he said, don't you do it without any fear. Be bold and it'll be all right. Kind of like 2.5 years ago or so, or 3 years ago when COVID hit. It took a little boldness for the preacher to say, we're not shutting down. We're going to have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I said, there may come a time if enough people get it in our church, we might have to have church in the parking lot. And we had church in the parking lot for 2 weeks. But we still had church. We weren't going to shut the church down. The government can't shut the church down. Amen. I hate to disappoint them. The government can't make us marry the alphabet soup crowd. They can pass any law they want, but I'm not doing it. Everybody doing all right? All right, now hang in there. You say, well, preacher, what are we going to do? We're going to keep doing what we did all along.
That's good.
It takes a little bit of boldness. You don't understand, for about a year, every time we had church, I stood at the door watching the police go by hoping they weren't turning in. Because y'all weren't going to jail, I was. But it didn't matter. We're still going to have church. You say, were you worried? I can't tell you I wasn't thinking about it from time to time. After a while, I didn't worry about it. I just said, it's okay, we'll preach in church. Baptizing might be a little harder, but we'll figure it out. You have to understand something. Paul ends up staying here at Corinth for a year and a half. That's what it says in verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, there is a common principle throughout the book of Acts. And honestly, it's woven throughout the entire scripture. It's so obvious that we sometimes miss it. And I want to give it to you right now. Truth always stirs trouble by those who do not want to obey the truth. Truth always stirs trouble by those who do not want to obey the truth. I don't care if you're at work. I don't care if you're in a school situation. I don't care if you're in a church situation or a government situation. Those who want to follow the rules and follow truth, it's always the truth offenders that get upset at truth. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
When you start hearing statements like this, those stupid rules, those stupid people that enforce those rules, that's someone who does not like truth. Now, man, due to our sinfulness and our pride, wants to always be the truth themselves. That's why it says in the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Can I tell you what this woke, sodomite, alphabet soup crowd generation we are in is? Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. They would have to make it a gender neutral term to please them. Because they don't know if they're a man or a woman or something in between. But it's every man does that which is right in his own eyes. What is our public education teaching? If you can show me the work that 2 + 2 = 5, then it's correct. Because you made it right in your own eyes. I'm not making it up, folks. You see, we sinful men want to dominate all others because we want to be God of our own life. Isn't that what Genesis 3 was all about? In the day thou eatest, thou shalt be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. You could decide good and evil for yourself by sinning. And every time we say, but I don't believe that's what God said, doesn't matter what you believe, God said it.
That's right.
Back in the 70s, there used to be a statement, God settled it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, they got it Two-thirds right. God said it, that settles it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You don't have to believe in gravity, but it's there. So, well, I can't see it. Don't care if you can see it. It's still there. Now, let me break it down just one step farther. Truth stirs trouble for those who don't want to obey the truth because they want to be God in one small area of life. They know one small area of life and think they understand all of life. It's kind of like a high school senior, college freshman. They know it all. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You remember when you were there?
Yeah.
Paula, that was a long time ago for you, but... matter of fact, I'm not even sure they had memory back then. But now, if we don't let the Bible and God be the source of truth, then man turns to religion and himself for truth. The farther our nation gets from God, the more dependent on government it gets. You watch any nation start getting saved, and you watch the government start either fighting or it starts changing and getting more conservative. Every time. Every time. Why is it that communism and socialism is godless? Everybody doing okay? You see, this is why truth causes trouble. Man uses government to be God, while God uses truth and the word of God. Man, in spite of knowing that he is a sinner, still wants to prove he's better than all other men. What is government? Man protecting himself from other men. It's still involved in man. Man wants to rewrite God's words, saying that God never said what he said. Isn't it amazing how people like Nancy Pelosi and the Sodomites and everybody else can tell us what Jesus would have done? Isn't it amazing how Hollywood wants to tell us what Jesus would have done? And they wouldn't know him if he knocked on their door. Well, Jesus would have loved them. He may have loved them, but I happen to know he made a cat of nine tails and kicked the snot out of people in the temple for being money changers. Didn't mean he approved of what they did, nor did he stop preaching against it. I can love somebody and still correct them. Tonight, let's look at the trouble stirred by truth that Paul was preaching here at Corinth. First of all, I want you to understand this, and if you miss this, you've missed the whole lesson tonight. First of all, there's a responsibility on hearers. There is a responsibility on hearers or receivers of truth. Look at chapter 18, verse number 6. And when they, the Jews, opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go to the Gentiles. Can I bring that down to where we live? These Jews are so steeped in bad doctrine that they would not listen to the true doctrine of the Word of God. And Paul reasoned with them. He showed them the truth. And he said, look, there comes a point in time where I've got to go talk to people that will receive the truth, so the truth be upon your own head. You have done nothing but oppose the truth. I'm done with it. I'm going to go talk to people that will listen to the truth. It was a day when I was a teenager that I used to love to battle people out soul winning. The Jehovah's false witnesses would come by and my dad would say, go get them. I'd spend an hour, hour and a half, chase them down the road, help them pack their car up and put all their stuff in and chase them down the road. Same thing with Mormons, no different. I'd go soul winning and meet somebody with bad doctrine, and I'd want to argue doctrine with them. Finally, one day, the Lord got a hold of me and said, I don't want you arguing, I just want you giving them the truth. You know the truth. If they won't listen to the truth, shake the dust off your feet and go to the house that'll listen to you. And the Lord convicted me. He said, I wonder how many people wanted to hear the truth, but you were so busy trying to prove you're right. Okay, God. The next one was even worse. He said, how many people died and went to hell because you didn't get them the truth? Because you're too busy trying to prove how smart you are. Whew. I don't argue with anybody anymore. Say why? They don't want to hear the truth? I'll go find somebody who wants to hear the truth. I'll knock on doors till somebody listens to the truth. I'm not going to stand there and argue with somebody. Now, is it fun to argue with somebody? Yeah, I like seeing how stupid they are. But guess what? I'm not going to change their mind. They're not going to change my mind. Why stand there and waste time when I can get the gospel to somebody else who will listen? And Paul finally gets to that point where he says, I am done messing with you. Your blood be upon you. I can't change you, but I'm going to go talk to people who want to hear the truth. That's a tough spot. God promised, listen to this, I've said it before, God promised the Hebrews that they as a race were chosen by God, but not their religion. The Hebrews were a chosen race. The Jews as a religion were not God's chosen religion. I heard a man who was a Baptist preacher. I know him well. He was a friend of mine. He happened to hear somebody with bad doctrine, and he thought it was sounded intelligent. He said, well, the Bible was written to the Jew. Well, fee, fi, fo, fum, my fundamental blood wanted to punch that man. I said, well, you're an idiot. No, it wasn't. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, the book of Acts wasn't. I said, the Apostle Paul preached to the Gentiles. Book of Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Thessalonians. All those books of the Bible were written to non-Jewish people. Right. Well, no, it was to the Jews in those places. Oh, you go ahead and believe that. You're an idiot. I said, if that's the case, how come we're still reading it today? I said, I thought the word of God was for all people. Well, it was originally for the Jews. Oh, okay. But God doesn't love anybody else? His word is only good to a Jewish person? I said, isn't the Jews the ones that crucified Jesus? What are you going to do about that one? The conversation changed very quickly. God promised the Hebrews that they were a chosen race. He did not promise that their religion was chosen. Everybody doing okay? Okay, now watch this. You can give, say, and teach the truth, but the hearer has a responsibility to obey it. I'm going to make a statement here that may crimp somebody's style, but I don't care. Why is it that we always think that in our nation that we have demonized leadership, that any time a follower fails, it's always the leader's fault? Where's the responsibility of the doer? Where's the responsibility of the follower? I can get up and preach in church, but if somebody dies and goes to hell, if I gave the gospel, guess what? I'm not to blame. Amen. Everybody doing all right? If I knock on their door and try to give them the gospel, but they don't listen to it, how am I the failure? When does the responsibility come to the hearer? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, hang on. That means this. Don't blame the teacher because the child doesn't want to receive the education that the teacher's giving. Just because your kid didn't get 100 on their test isn't the teacher's fault. Some of you got 100 on your test too, but it was 100% wrong. what was that? You got the same amount of zeros, it just didn't have a one in front. Wait a minute. That means this. It's not a, since when an adult child doesn't obey what they've been taught their whole life, when is it the parents' fault? Yeah. That means once a child becomes an adult on their own. Yeah, once they reach a legal age of making their own decisions. When a child becomes an adult and then they don't turn out right, may I say this, as a parent, it's not your fault. You can't make them do right. I love my children. I love Josh and Ruth Ann, and I love Jeff. I love Bindi. Well, I love Michael. And I love my family, but can I tell you something? I can't force my grown children to obey. It's not my job to force them to obey. They answer to God for it, not me. I know what they were taught. They were given the truth. Isn't it amazing, though, when they leave home, how smart mom and dad all of a sudden become? They start learning some things. Mindy was called the other day, and she was asking my wife and I some things about school and teaching and different things. She said, man, I didn't realize how much I was getting. I said, no, you don't. She said, well, how did you? And we did. Oh, yeah, I remember that now. I said, you got to understand something. It's not your fault if your adult children don't do right. Quit blaming yourself. If they've been given the truth, they have a responsibility to live the truth. Quit beating yourself up. Well, I want this for them. I want a lot for a lot of people, but just because I want it doesn't mean it's going to happen. God's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't get anything hardly he wants. If a follower will not follow or obey, how is that the leader's fault? Paul is so fed up with the Jews that he tells them he's done trying to reach them first. If you remember other places, it said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He would start with the Jews and then hit the Greeks. Well, from here on, he's going to start with the Greeks, and if the Jews listen, fine. Now, number two, I have to hurry. The church's success at Corinth brings attack. Look at verse number 12. Now, I keep wanting to say Galileo here, and it's not. It's Galileo. So if I mess up, you'll know I'm just reading too fast. Look at verse 12. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, and the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuaded the men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, now look at me, Galileo is a public official, judge, ruler, leader here in Corinth. And the Jews, the Bible says, brings insurrection against Paul. Now, the word insurrection means violent uprising against a government or an authority. Yeah. It's called BLM. It's called, whatever. That's called an insurrection. Not January 6th. That's what Democrats want you to believe. Paul had spent 18 months here in Corinth. And he has seen a lot of people saved. Important people. We saw in verse number 7, a man named Justus, who is closely associated with the synagogue, which is the political and business leaders of the area. And then a man named Crispus in verse number 8. He was one of the chief rulers of the synagogue. Some important people had gotten saved. Now look at me for a moment here. God assures Paul, though, that enough people have been saved to keep him safe. We read that verses 8 through 10. But you have to notice it's the religious Jews making this insurrection. This is 25 years after Calvary. They still hate Jesus. They still hate the name Jesus Christ. Our best defense politically will be a revival of gospel and the truth. The only hope America has is that book right there. Our answer is not in the White House. It's in the church house. Mr. Trump can run, but I hate to tell you this, the last real election we had was 6 years ago. They're still counting votes that aren't there. That's what's happened in the last over week in Arizona, Nevada, and other places around the country. To switch everything from a red wave to where everybody's wondering what's next. I saw something funny today that says, well, if the election were for 2024 were held today, and the people answered and said, maybe by 2024 it would be counted. I'm sorry, I thought that was pretty funny. Now, our best defense politically is the gospel. I'm not saying Christians should not get active in politics. I think we ought to do our part, but we Christians better start having revival and seeing churches ignited and seeing soul winning ignited and getting people to the truth. The truth will guide them to right. I hate to tell you, the answer is truth, not government.
Amen.
I've got to hurt. Notice that there's a big stir here. This next point, though, goes with that. Number three, Gallio's, a judge or politician, stands up for justice and protects Paul and the Christians. Look at verse number 13. Saying to this fellow, persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will not be judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Look at me. You have your first politician stand up for a separation of church and state. He just said, look, there's nothing he did that is against the law of Corinth. There's nothing legally that he did wrong. If he's doing something wrong according to your religious laws, you deal with it. I'm not touching it. By the way, had they done that in Jesus' day, Jesus wouldn't have been crucified. It's the religious leaders that got the politicians all stirred up, and Gallio wouldn't stand up and say with the Jews, oh, I'm afraid of you. He said, look, it's your law. You deal with it. Has nothing to do with civil law. That's your religious law. We're not trying that in the court here. Religious law, take care of it yourself. I'll take care of the civil law. That's not civil. That's religious. You deal with it. I'm not touching it. You had a politician that had more sense and more justice than supposed Christians. Everybody doing okay? These Jews got their lunch handed to them. He drives them away and told them never to bring this kind of stuff to him again. And he drave them from the judgment seat, verse 16. So what did they do? Look at verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sothenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. They took some Greek that was in charge of the synagogue, and they brought him into the judgment seat area, and they beat him, and Gallio said, "That's your doings, not mine." If he broke one of your laws, okay, but he didn't break civil law. You deal with it how you want, you deal with the fallout. What a wonderful group of people this was, isn't it? And now we have Baptists trying to bring these Jewish traditions into Baptist churches around Christmas and Easter. Huh, doesn't make any sense to me. And I've got to finish on this last point quickly. Number next, Paul continues his travel, but something happens. Look at verse number 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. Now look at me. He leaves Greece and goes to Syria, takes Aquila and Priscilla with him, and then leaves Syria and goes to Ephesus. But in the process, Paul had taken a Jewish vow and shaved his head. Then he says he's got to go to Jerusalem and keep a feast. Both of which were part of the same vow. What was that vow? I don't know. Can't tell you all about it. But I will tell you this. It causes trouble later. Look at Acts chapter 21. Go over to Acts 21. I'll give you an insight a couple weeks down the road. Look at verse number 18. Let me just read about 10 verses here. Acts 21:18. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them and declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law, and they informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, and purify thyself with them, and be at charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know those things, whether they were informed concerning thee, and are nothing but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood, things strangled from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Paul is seeing thousands and thousands and thousands saved. And then he takes this foolish vow. Let me make a couple statements here. Paul did not need to participate in the Jewish religious practices to reach them. He just needed to preach the truth to them.
Yes, sir.
We don't need to be like the world to reach the world. We need to preach the truth to the world. We're going to look at two passages, Mark chapter 7. Turn back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, look at verse number 9. Mark chapter 7, look at verse number 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth the father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Kurban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things like ye do. When we start going the way of tradition, we start making that book of none effect. Tradition doesn't change lives. Truth does.
Amen.
Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 27. Mark chapter 11, verse number 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answered, said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Isn't it amazing? Tradition wants the authority. And if you don't do what the tradition says, the authority wants to rebuke you. I've talked to many people, some of you may be them, coming from what I would call a mainline denomination, Catholicism or Nazarenes or Pentecostal or something. And if they heard that you were coming to a church preaching the gospel, you were going to get in trouble. They found out you were reading the Bible on your own. Well, you don't need that. That's what you got me for. You just need to do what the church says, not what the Bible says. Whew. Let God be true and every man a liar. Paul didn't need to participate in this Jewish vow to reach the Jews. But let me remind you, Paul came out from that part of life. God uses Paul in spite of his faults. Paul had spent much of his life steeped in Judaism. And his old habits were hard to break. Yes, God used Paul. But I wonder how much more God wanted to use Paul that he couldn't. I wonder how many people didn't get reached because Paul made this vow. By the way, later on you'll find out he and Peter get in a fuss over it. And this time Peter was right. I wonder how many times we do things foolishly. We don't need traditions to reach people. We need to proclaim the truth. We are to get the truth out and let the hearers deal with the rest. There is a responsibility on the hearer as well as those who give the truth. But how shall they hear without the word of God? How shall they hear without a preacher? It is a matter of us getting the truth to them, not worried about the results. We worry about getting the truth to them. I never worry about results. I want to make sure we get the right message out. We'll let the results take care of themselves. Too many people want results And we'll trim the message to get results. Let's not trim the message and let the results take care of themselves. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I have much more to say, but I'm not going to. I wonder. Maybe we've done some foolishness like Paul. You can recover. God will use you. Maybe you've blamed yourself for a hearer not receiving truth well. Give the truth. Keep giving the truth. Maybe we need to rededicate ourselves just to giving the truth out.